Now we began this morning in James, right? The very next book after Hebrews. And of course we discussed the fact that James being written to the Jews, to the Hebrews, so is the book of Hebrews. Both of these books, back to back, deal with born-again Jews. Amen. Messianic Jews, as we refer to them today. But born-again believers who were of the nation of Israel, who were of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, of course. And so they deal with both of them a little bit differently. James, of course, being the writer of James. Paul, I believe, being the writer of the book of Hebrews. It is not ascribed. We don't know exactly who it is. And we've talked about that before, I believe, for a few particular reasons, that it would probably be Paul. And I might be wrong about that, but we know that regardless of the pen, or the author itself is God. The pen author may have been a different individual, but the author itself is God. So stand, if you would, with me, Hebrews chapter number 10 here. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 19. Hebrews 10 and verse number 19. Now remember, the title of our message is The Next Step. We spoke about it this morning. You may not have been able to be here this morning. But we talked about taking the next step, and we illustrated a few things. Yeah, Hebrews 10 verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful, that promised, amen. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So the next step. I want to finish this message here tonight. We'll briefly discuss what we looked at this morning, and then we'll go ahead and we'll finish our outline here this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow tonight. Lord, we look to You in humility. Dear God, I truly ask for Your grace upon this message, Lord, the continuation of what we saw this morning. Lord, as we looked in the book of James, and where it commanded us, Lord, to draw nigh unto God and to You. And then when we do, Lord, You will draw nigh unto us. We take a step, and then You will take a step, Lord. Here in the book of Hebrews, as the writer, Lord, as You are given to us in verse 27, that we are to draw near, and Lord, we're to draw near with a true heart. Lord, I pray that we would do that. I pray that our heart's desire would be truth. And Lord, we would seek that. And then when we find it, Lord, when we realize what truth is, that we would truly take the next step. Bless our time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now have you be seated. Now again, this morning we started there in the book of James, and not too terribly long we got over to the book of 1 Chronicles, and we read about Solomon as David is instructing Solomon to build the temple, and Solomon had a choice. Everything was already laid out for him. All of the supplies were already gathered. The plans were already drawn up. The workers were in their places. All Solomon needed to do was say, I'll take the step. I'll make sure it happens. I'll oversee all that needs to take place, and I will follow God. Now, it was under the direction of his dad, of his father, King David, but Solomon needed to take that next step. Yesterday, we were down at the family conference, and one of the speakers, I believe it was Bill Rice, was talking about Solomon a little bit briefly here and the wisdom that Solomon had. And he made a statement that I'd never really thought about. He said, Solomon was wise in the areas that he had wisdom. But we can see that he didn't have wisdom in all areas when we look at the life of Solomon. And of course, it being a family conference, he said, he made the great example that Solomon didn't have a lot of wisdom in the area of families. He had a lot of wisdom in the area of kings and being a king. And he was a great king and he was a wise king. But as far as a husband and a dad, he probably wasn't the best example. That was a good thing for me to hear, and I liked hearing that, because we realize every character in the Bible, no matter their wisdom, no matter their skill, no matter their ability, we all have the same propensity to fall short. Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter how hard we try, we realize that we need to try harder. We need to take another step. And so I start here with that thought, that premise in mind. You may say, Pastor, I have taken a step. I have. I've taken a step. I saw where God wanted me to go. And I was willing and I was obedient and I took that step. Praise the Lord. Take another step. Amen. Take another step. The song that we sing, each step I take, my Savior goes before me. I'm glad the song doesn't say, that step I took, the Savior went before me. Sorry, I can't sing it all tonight. Not that I could any other day, but anyhow. I'm glad it's not, you know, I'm living in the past. No, each step I take. So we're to take another step. And we see in the life of Solomon that he had the decision whether he was going to take that step. I discussed some things this morning. Maybe in your marriage you need to take a step. Maybe you need to be a better husband. Maybe you need to be a better wife. Maybe you need to put forth the effort to find out. Maybe in your family. Maybe in a better parent. Maybe a better child. Maybe you need to say, as a child, I need to take a step. Maybe in your finances, there's something that you need to take a step toward God. Maybe in your ministry. Maybe in your faithfulness to God. I said maybe in your salvation. Maybe there was someone that wasn't saved, or someone here tonight that's not saved. Maybe in your baptism, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe your pride needs to take a back seat. Maybe your rebellion needs to be squashed. Maybe your stubbornness. Maybe your guilt needs to be addressed. Maybe your unrepentant heart needs to be examined. Maybe you need to come to the Lord and you need to say, search me, Lord, because I don't know what step I need to take. When we look here in Hebrews 10 again, in verse number 22, it says very clearly, let us draw near with a true heart. Oh, let's take that step. Let's take that step with a true heart. Now with a true heart, we're going to have the understanding as it follows, in full assurance of faith. That's the truest heart that we can have. That one which we say, all right, Lord, here is, I believe, this is the door you want me to go through. I've rehearsed it before in our ears. Let me do it again. You have a choice. You have a decision to make. And you say, Lord, I believe that's the direction you want me to go. I'm going to head toward that door. I could have chosen that door. I could have chosen that door. But Lord, I'm going to choose that door. And I'm going to head that direction. If that's not the door, close it, Lord. Keep it closed. I want to kick it down. I might knock once. I'll knock maybe a second time. Perhaps I'll knock a third time. And if you shut the door and keep it closed, then I'll not go on. But if that door is open, then I'm going to step through it by faith. I don't have the understanding of how it is all going to work out. In fact, if we did, we probably wouldn't step through the door in the first place. Especially when it comes to our service for the Lord. You probably would have, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't have. I would hope that none of us would say, I would hope that none of us would have said, wait a minute, you want me to get saved, and then God's going to expect something from me? I hope no one would have said, I'll just stay lost then. But yet, oftentimes we act like we're still lost because we're not willing to take that next step. And it might be that guilt, it might be that pride, it might be that unrepentant heart. The Lord is trying to say, I need you to take a step. Take another step. I'm going to have you write down three things here. First one, the choice to step. The choice to step. Go in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Now we'll be back to that idea of faith in just a few moments. Acts chapter number 9, the account here is given to us of Saul. We begin reading in verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters. Now, this is the same Saul, by the way. Do you remember when Stephen was being stoned for his preaching? Go back two chapters. Go back to chapter number 7. Go back to chapter number 7 of Acts. And Peter is preaching here, and we'll not go through the entire sermon. Boy, it's a great sermon. It's a lengthy sermon, I guess, as far as to read. When we get to verse number 54, when they, this is the Jews, heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And here we have Saul. We meet him first right here. This young man that was just consenting unto the death. Didn't do anything to stop Stephen. The stoning of Stephen. He didn't care. In fact, his life, he thought it was great. I'm sure he thought that was a great thing. Hey, listen, you need me to keep your coats while you beat that guy to death? Come bring him on right over here. Man, have at it. Great. Let's go. Let's take care of him. Man, he's preaching about this Jesus. We need to get rid of him. That's the Saul that we read about over here in chapter number 9. In verse number 1 of chapter 9, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, we stop here just briefly. This is the point of conversion for Saul. Saul gets saved. It does not say, "and Saul got saved." It doesn't say, "and Saul trusted Christ as his Savior." Although those were all biblical understandings. And Saul was born again. And again, I stress this. And I repeatedly stress this before us. Because the point of conversion took place here. And there should be a conversion in anyone's life that they raise their hand and say, "I have been saved." There should be a conversion in your life. Amen? The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. But we also have to sing it, "there's been a great change since I got right with God." Because oftentimes we have to get right with God after we've gotten saved so that our lives will be pleasing to Him. Now, in your Bible, if you have a reference Bible such as mine, if you don't, you might want to write these things down at the chapter heading of chapter number 9. Two other times in the book of Acts. Once in Acts 22, the first 16 verses. And then a second time in Acts 26, verses 9 through 18. We read the same exact point of conversion. We're reading about it firsthand here as it happened in Acts 9. Then in Acts 22, as Paul is preaching to the multitude, he gives his testimony of salvation. God gave us his testimony of salvation here. Paul then gives his testimony of salvation, and it matches Acts chapter number 9. And then when you go to Acts chapter number 26, and he is before Agrippa, he gives to King Agrippa the same testimony of salvation. I make a point of that because there are those that believe you can lose your salvation, and I would submit that knowing what we do about Paul, knowing that he called himself the chief of sinners, knowing that he said that "I am a wretched man, undone before God," if someone could lose their salvation because of their life, Paul would probably have lost his. But yet every time we read in the Scripture his testimony of salvation, it's always the same. Man, I praise the Lord for that. I am grateful for someone that can give me a very clear testimony of salvation. And then if I ask them again about it several years later, they'll tell me the same thing. They won't say, it won't be changed up. "Well, I didn't really mean it then." Now, you may have to go back to your life and say, "Well, I didn't understand. So I got right with God and I said, this is the date that I want to be born again." I've talked to many like that, and I'm grateful for that. I've talked to many. that said, I wanted to get it settled. I wanted to make sure that it was under the blood. Praise the Lord for that. But you don't say, well, I got saved there, and then I got saved here. No, if you understand Scripture, you say, I thought I made a point of conversion over there, but come to find out in life, I wasn't convinced that I had, so I made sure. And I ask you, which one do you point to as your date of salvation? Anyone that I've ever asked of that truly is born again, they don't say, well, both of them. No, they realize, no, the second one. Because over there, I wasn't sure I knew what I did, but here, boy, I really knew. Praise the Lord. That's your testimony of salvation. We read it about here in Acts about Saul. Of course, we know him as Paul. In verse number 5, it goes on. He said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Look at it again. Verse number 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said unto the Lord, what will thou have me to do? Paul had a choice now. Paul had a choice. The choice to step. The choice to follow. Am I going to take the next step? Oh, to the one who has recently been saved, are you going to take the next step? The point of conversion was made in verse number five. Now in verse number 6, he has a choice. Man, he barely has gotten the sinner's prayer out of his mouth. No, we don't read the sinner's prayer, we know. He barely had that point of conversion. He wasn't even 5 minutes down the road yet. And he already had a choice to make. Am I going to take the next step? What will thou have me to do, Lord? What will thou have me to do? Oh, the choice was there. The suddenness. Paul was shaken by the suddenness of the event. Let me ask you a question. What sudden call has ever shaken you? What sudden call has ever shaken you? I'm not talking about your salvation. I praise the Lord for that. But I believe that there is something that God wants for every one of us to do. And it's going to shake us when we realize it. It's going to cause us to have a queasy stomach, I guess. I don't know. Salvation is not a feeling, and a call isn't a feeling. But the suddenness of the call, man, you're just kind of going along, and all of a sudden it's like, man, what, Lord, what do you want me to, you want me to do what? You want me to do what? I thank the Lord for testimonies of salvation. They're kind of like that. I spoke to someone recently who said that they were headed to work early morning. They had been told about salvation. They had said, I'm fine. On their way to work, boom, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they weren't thinking about the Bible, they weren't thinking about God, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, their thought hit them, I'm on my way to hell. They said, I barely finished getting over the bridge, and I couldn't for about another mile get off the side of the road, and I finally pulled off the side of the road at the very first stop that I could, and I said, I need to be saved. And praise the Lord, right there in their car, trust Christ as their Savior. The suddenness of that event, but let me ask you now, what was the last sudden event, the last sudden call that you've ever had from God? Have you pushed back the call of God for so long that you've forgotten what it feels like to tremble and to be astonished at what He would have you do? Has it been that long? Has it been that long that you actually felt weak in your knees, that God was working on your heart to do something for Him? And you were shaken, and you were astonished, and your knees buckled, and you thought, there's no way on this earth I could do that. But will you be willing to take the next step? You have a choice. You have a choice to step. Moses asked the children of Israel in Exodus 32, who is on the Lord's side? I'll ask the same question tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? Are you willing to take that next step? It's your choice. The Lord looked for someone in Ezekiel 22 to stand in the gap. Who is willing to stand in the gap tonight? Who is willing to stand in the gap in 2016? Who is willing to say, I will go, I will give the word of God. Man, I praise the Lord. Just tonight, spoke to an individual. They said, I gave a tract. I don't know if they're going to come or not. I said, praise the Lord. It's not my job nor yours to make them come. It's our job to invite them. It's our job to tell them about the Savior. Boy, I thank God for that. And if that is right now, the best that you can do is to hand them a tract and say, would you come to church? Praise the Lord. I pray that they'll come and they'll hear a message of salvation. But what about that next step? See, God is always saying, I want you to take another step. Now, it may be too soon for you. You may say, I just barely got the courage up to hand someone a piece of a little card. This thing, man, it is, what is it, 3 inches by 5 inches. I just barely got the courage to hand someone a little piece of paper that had some words on it that happened to talk about the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you got over that hurdle. Huh? And I'm not demeaning it, honestly. Man, I remember those days. Oh, man, I'm going to actually tell someone about this. I'm actually going to talk to them about this. Oh, I told you this morning, man. I told you in Sunday school, if you weren't here in Sunday school, I'm a great example of a wrong. Went in over here to one of the stores and there was a man there, good looking man, had a good looking son, had a wife over there and a family, good looking family. And I kept thinking, man, I should just walk over and say, hey, where do you go to church? But I didn't. I should have. Now I wish I would have, but I didn't that night. I go to the family conference. He walks up and says, hey, I saw you this morning. Where? Over there at the store. That was you. Yeah. I was going to invite you to church and I didn't. Well, praise the Lord, he's already saved. I'm glad for that. But who is it that maybe the Lord has prompted my heart and I was like, oh man, look at that, Lord. I don't have a track. As if that's the only way that we can witness to someone. Oh, I don't have that piece of paper. Oh, that we would realize that God wants us to take the next step. David asks the army that's fighting Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, is there not a cause? The householder asked the men in Matthew 20, why stand ye here all the day idle? Paul asked the Galatians in Galatians 3, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Who's gotten a hold of you? Who has gotten a hold of you? I've said it before, I think it's been a while back, I made mention of this when I was I was a junior in high school, and I went to a public school, and would to God that there, the end of the year, whatever time of the year is, one of the dances was, and of course, as a boy, my parents let me go, and I don't, anyway, shouldn't that probably have, but I remember after this particular dance, I went over to one of the local restaurants, Red's Drive-In. It was just a hamburger place right there at the corner of Main Street and Highway 50, and I was sitting there, and I don't know, I was probably drinking a Coke or something like that, and it was late, it was probably midnight, and more than likely I was waiting for my mom to come pick me up, if I remember correctly, and in stumbled my next door neighbor. Now, I lived on a farm, next door neighbor was about a mile and a half away, so it wasn't too next door, but I knew Kyle very well. I knew all of his family. We used to do things together in the pasture, you know, we'd ride motorcycles and whatnot, and he stumbled in and he was absolutely blistered drunk. I mean, as a skunk, and could barely stand up, could barely walk, and he was laughing about everything, and his mom walked in, and I will never forget, as she looked at him and said, who did this to you? And I thought to myself, his name is Kyle. Kyle did this to him. Who hath bewitched you, Paul asks, that you should not obey the truth? Well, you can try to blame a lot of people. But I think Paul was trying to get their attention, rattle their cage. I know who's bewitched you. Oh, we know the devil is going to do everything he can. But you had to make the decision. You're the one that took the bait. Oh, each and every one of us have had a choice to make a step. You have that choice. Will you step? Will you step? Will you step into the water, as the song says? Will you wade out a little bit deeper, as the song says? When will you stop playing church? When will you take the next step and decide, this is my life? I said this morning, I would to God that I could take every family here this coming week with me out so that we could see North Valley Baptist Church. It's not all about Dr. Jack Treber, and I love him dearly. And it's not about any individual, and it's not about any family, and it's not about any church. But here's a church that is on fire for God. Here's a church that runs over 3,000 members that is on fire for God. That loves to see people walk the aisle. That loves to see people get up from their knees having made a decision to trust Christ as their Savior. Who loves to see old-time, old-fashioned music sung from that platform and in the homes and in the cars and convictions and standards and women that look like women and men that look like men and children that are obedient and look like they belong to a family that loves God. When will we decide that we're going to stop playing church? Amen? When are we going to decide that? When are we going to decide that, hey, this is business, serious business to God. This is serious to God. He didn't play church when He hung on that cross for me. He didn't play church when He allowed those nails to be pierced, driven into His hands and into His feet. He did not play church. He meant it. Oh, let's stop playing church. Are you willing? Listen, here's the question. Are you waiting on Him? Or is He waiting on you? One or the other is waiting. Either you're waiting on Him. We said it this morning. We're waiting until we get further instruction to take the next step. All the while over here, we're waiting on Him while we're doing something. Either you're waiting on Him or He's waiting on you. He is waiting for you to take that next step. Oh, would you choose the choice to step? The second thing, the plan to step. The plan to step. So, you've made the choice to step. Praise the Lord. Now what's your plan? Now what is your plan? That area that the Lord has prompted you to step. Perhaps in the area of your marriage, your family. Perhaps in the area of your finances. Perhaps in the area of your ministry. Perhaps in the area of your guilt. Perhaps in the area of your pride. Perhaps in the area of your unrepentant heart. What is your plan now? Go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Familiar passage to us. Philippians 3, look at verses 13 and 14. Here it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is your mark? What's your goal? What's your mark? I promise you, without a mark, you're sure to hit it. When you aim at nothing, you will hit it. I gave an illustration years ago when I was in California. There was an event the night before, if I'm not mistaken. The school had an event, Shoot for the Stars. That was the title of their event. I had no problem with the title. But the next night, I was preaching, and I was preaching to all of the congregation about my heart for the youth ministry. And I said, to be very honest with you, the theme of Shoot for the Stars really doesn't give me much of a mark. And I've given the same illustration before. I talked about it here just the other day. I asked someone, so-and-so to stand up. I had one of the teenagers come up and I gave him a dart gun. And I said, so-and-so, stand up. And I said, let me ask you a question. Do you read your Bible? I called on someone that I knew would give me an affirmative. He said, yes, I do. And I looked at the teenager. I said, shoot him. And he took that dart gun, boom, shot him right in the chest. Man, praise the Lord. He had a mark. I asked another one. I said, listen, do you pray? He said, yes, I do. I said, great. I want you to shoot him. He shot him. I asked another one this question, another one that question. And then I said, listen, I've got one of the guys in the back. I said, let me ask you a question here. And I asked, I forget what the question was. And he said, yes, sir, I do. And I said, listen, we need a big gun for this. And I reached under here and I grabbed a different dart gun. I said, you everyone may want to step back here because we need to reach all the way to the back. I said, I want you to fire at him. And he took that gun, fired it, and the dart went boom, about 5 feet out. And I knew it was going to do that. I had rigged the dart. I said, he missed. What are you going to do now? Kid looked at me and went, I don't know. I said, go pick up the dart. He went and picked it up. I said, put it in the gun. He put it in the gun. I said, cock it. He cocked. I said, shoot again. About 5 feet out. Did it again about 5 feet out. Finally, standing right in front of him, thump, finally hit him. Like, he succeeded. He took a lot of failures to get there. But if you have no mark, you're not going to hit it. What's your plan? You say, all right, Lord, I can see you want me to take the next step. What's your plan to step? What is your plan? Oh, that we would realize that we have a mark. I press toward the mark. Pick a target for this year in the area that God is working in your life. Set a plan to take a step. Make a plan to take that step. You may say, I want to read through the Bible this year. Praise the Lord. I've given you a plan. Take that plan. Use that plan and decide, I'm going to get through the Bible cover to cover. Maybe you say, in the area of finances, my plan, I'm going to be faithful to God with my finances. Praise the Lord. Go find an offering envelope and make sure, if you want, I'll give you 52 of them. We don't number our envelopes here. I know some churches do. I've never done that. You may say, Pastor, I want 52 envelopes and I want one for every week of the year and I'm going to have some. Praise the Lord. That's a plan. Great. I don't know what your plan needs to be. But what is your plan? Let's have a plan. Job was quite serious when he said, if my step had turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. He was so serious about it. He said, if I don't follow you, Lord, then let everything that I do be prosperous to someone else, not me. Lord, I want to follow you. Oh, serving the Lord, let's make the choice to step, but let's make the plan. Let's have a plan to step. Don't just say, well, God's really moved in my heart. Well, I'm going to, and tell me what it is, or tell God what it is. Praise the Lord. Now set a plan. The last thing, number three, is the faith to step. We go back to Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter number 11. Man, praise the Lord, somebody's been praying for me. I didn't think my voice was going to stand up to this. Someone's saying, oh no, right now. All right, we're almost done. Hebrews 11, look at verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. The faith to step. You may say, I don't have the ability to do what God expects of me. Don't fall for the lie of the devil. Don't fall for the lie of the devil that you don't have any abilities. Don't fall for that line. Well, I don't have the ability to tell someone about Christ. Yes, you do. Oh, but I don't, Pastor. I love you, but yes, you do. Oh, I'm too shy. I love you, but you can use that as an excuse all day long. Oh, I don't have. There's no way that I can tithe. I love you, but yes, there is. I read too slow. I can't read the Bible. I love you. But yes, you can. Yes, you can. Oh, that we would see that God is asking us to do something by faith. Take the next step. You see, really tonight, I've only been talking about the things that are expected of us. What about the one that says, God has been working on my heart? What about that young person? What about that young boy? We've got some young boys in here. What about that young boy that God's working on your heart to take the next step in your life? And I can remember as a teenage boy, I can remember thinking, I wonder if the Lord would want anything from me. I remember now when I'm in college wondering, I wonder if the Lord would want anything from me. I can look back in my life now and tell you I know now he was trying to get my attention, but I was trying to not be bothered. Oh, that we would have the faith to take that next step. The step may or not be a spiritual step, but perhaps it leads you closer to the Lord. It may not be a spiritual step, but it may lead you closer to the Lord. It may increase your faith in another area. It could be that someone else's life is changed because of your faith-filled step. Oh, any step that is led by the Spirit of God and is taken in faith is a step that will lead me closer home. Well, let's take the next step. I would love to be able to hit every area of your life that God wants you to take a step. But I ran dry in my list. I prayed and said, Lord, what are the areas? What are the areas? Man, what are the areas? Maybe I could make a comment about this area and someone would go, oh, that's it. But I realized I don't need to do that. I gave you a short list, but the Holy Spirit knows the exact step that you need to take. Amen. He's already told you. I believe you're sitting here tonight and He's probably already told you. Now you may say, I don't know. I don't know. Then I would beg God, say, Lord, surely there's a step you want me to take. What would that step be? Amen. Let's close. Heavenly Father, I pray you would be with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we have. Lord, thank you for your loving hand that you would guide us. Lord, each step I take just leads me closer home. Help me, Lord, to take the next step. Show me, Lord, what that step would be. Lord, for the life of Coastal Light Baptist Church, would you show me what that step would be? It might be that you'd use one of our church family to say, Pastor, have you considered this step? Lord, it might be that you'd use the Bible reading that I have to, you would say, have you considered this step? Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I have no doubt that you're going to show me the next step that you want for our church, Lord, that you want for me and for my life and for my family. Lord, I pray that same for every person here. And Lord, I pray that they would be asking you, saying, what is that next step? Tonight, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, will you take that risk? I guess I have to say it might be a risk. It might be that you're going to be putting yourself into very uncomfortable waters to actually follow the Lord in whatever step He's asking you to make. But are you willing to do that tonight? How many of you this evening would say, if the Lord would show me the step to take, I would be willing to take that step? Would you raise your hand tonight? Well, I thank the Lord all over the house. Well, I thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for the honesty here tonight. I pray you'd work in our hearts.